Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, here he is, all right. This is the lightly cloudy voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice, with another food show. It's the branch bell ringing time of the day, but not much to get angry about or to have lots of thoughts about, one or the other. Anyway, what we do here is talk about food. I guess, you know, do I have to explain that anymore? No, I know I don't. Because for 30 years we have been talking about it here and having a lot of fun doing it. And I'm just asking you to do it a little bit differently from what we have done in the past. All this week during my weekday show, and this thing is on every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 in the afternoon until 5, and then we rerun it all over again for another 2 hours. That's how committed we are to food in our town. We have the best eating city in America, according to more than a few people. I remember saying it back in the 1980s. But now, all of a sudden, all the magazines in the country, the food magazines, are jumping in and saying that, without a doubt, the best eating city in America is right here in New Orleans. So that's why we can get away with all this radio time being given over to the radio and to the eating that we do. And we want to take full advantage of that. Now, here's what we did this week. It's just a real departure from what we've always done. Ordinarily, I would sit here and give you some sort of theme, like Valentine's Day. What did you do on Valentine's Day? Tell me what you did on Valentine's Day, where you went, how good was it? Do you think it was a good deal? Do you think that the restaurant was ripping you off with higher than usual prices? He was. There was no doubt about that. That goes on every year. But, you know, those sorts of questions, because it's seasonal, and we just move from one thing to another, and I keep throwing things out there, and with any kind of luck, you go after them. But this week, on the weekday show, I said, look, just call me. You don't have to have anything in your mind at all. You don't have to have any questions. You don't have to have any points of view. You can have all those things if you want. If that's what you want to fill your call with, you're more than welcome to do that. In other words, anything at all on your mind or off your mind is what I'm after. And all you have to do is call us here at 260-1870, 260-1870. And we'll get right into it. Right into what? Well, we'll see when you get here. I mean it. I mean, it's we're struggling to get calls during the week. I think everybody is really busy going home from work or school or wherever it is they happen to be, and that explains that. But we on this Saturday show and also on the Sunday show, we have one tomorrow, by the way. We're going to be on it approximately this time tomorrow as well. We have a lot of fun with that because the people who listen to those two shows and the ones who call in especially are the ones that have, you know, the most elaborate questions to ask. But they also tend to be people I've never heard from before. And it's like a whole different audience from what we have during the week. So anyway, do me that favor. All you have to do, you don't have to give this any further thought, although you can if you want to. Call me, 260-1870, 260-1870. And we'd love to talk with you about whatever is cooking over at your house. We have had, my wife and I, have had a wonderful week because everything happens at the same time for us. We have Valentine's Day. We have our anniversary. We have my birthday, of which is, of course, a very little note. And we've been celebrating all of this all week long. One of the high points of it was on Tuesday, was it, or yeah, I think it was Tuesday, and we went over to the Roosevelt Hotel, because they were instituting something new over there. They had a they're going to do this every Tuesday. They call it Burgers and Bubbles. And if you're thinking, no, it couldn't possibly be hamburgers with champagne, could it? Well, yes, it could, and it does, and they do it every Tuesday. And this past Tuesday was the one that we started off with. This is the first time around for that. And it went pretty well. I had an unusual hamburger that was dressed with not just the usual things, but also with some foie gras and some black truffles. These are things you don't see very much on hamburgers, although they are also the kinds of things that you hope you run into in just about anything else. I mean, these are two of the great delicacies of the world. I don't know if you've ever had them before, but you ever get a chance, go ahead and take full advantage of it. And then my wife, who is a very straightforward eater, she went for the normal kind of hamburger. The hamburgers were very good. It really was champagne, and I'm not just talking about French bubbly wine, which is not necessarily champagne. Real champagne comes from the Champagne District in France, and in France, boy, they pay close attention to that, and you can't get away with calling it champagne if it doesn't come from champagne. So this really is from champagne, what they're doing with the hamburgers, and they say that they're going to do it every Tuesday, and I have a good reason to believe that that is going to happen, because the whole time I was there, we hung around for a little while afterwards, the place just filled up. It's in the Roosevelt Hotel, right there on the ground floor, just off the check-in area, right there, right in the middle of the lobby. They have what they call the Fountain Lounge, which sounds like it's a bar. It is a bar. Of course, they have lots of drinks that they do, including some of the best drinks in the world, I think. But they also have a full-fledged food service in there, and it's a nice place, very comfortable, good service. And now on Tuesdays, hamburgers and champagne together. I bet you never thought you would see that. I didn't. That's one of the things that I took note of. So I'm asking you now, call us. Just call us on the air. Danny. Did you say Danny? I thought I heard Danny. Okay, Danny, welcome to the food show.
Left.
He left? Oh, okay. Well, Danny, call us back, would you? 260-1870, 260-1870. What? Let's take a break. We will return with more of the food show in just a moment after first, if you will, this. Hello there. Welcome back. It's the food show. We're trying a new thesis here today, and we've been doing it all week long on the weekday show, and it's worked out really, really well. And it's the kind of thing you have to get your head around. But trust me on this. Just call me up, 260-1870, 260-1870. And as soon as we connect on the phone, I'll ask you a question or tell you something, and we'll start a conversation. Imagine this. You're walking around in the supermarket, and you bump into a guy you know. And you start talking for a few minutes. You know how that goes. It's just this and that. And you wind up talking about things that are pretty interesting. And so this is what I'm asking you to do. Just call us. If you have a question or a comment in your head, go ahead and tell me what it is. But if you don't, call anyway, and we'll just jump right into this. I guarantee you it has been working beautifully all week this week on the weekday show. And with all these people who are in the Big 870 with us, I know we can get something rolling. But where are you? Here. Call right now. Easy enough. 260-1870. By the way, if you are very shy about talking in public, which would include being on the radio show, I understand that. And they say that speaking in public is the thing that most people are afraid of more than anything else. That's seems a little much, but maybe it is true. I don't know. But the downfall of this, or the uptake, either one, you can have either one, is what you get sometimes is a lot of missed good information. Like, I know, without even talking to you, that there is a restaurant you go to that you think is really great, and you go there all the time, and you really enjoy it very consistently. And the reason you have never called us on the air about it is that you figure that everybody knows about this place. And in a lot of cases, they do. But we probably don't. We probably don't know what this is that you like so well. And you're keeping it to yourself, not on purpose or anything, but, you know, that's just the way it works out. So I'm asking you right now to tell me about this new restaurant. Well, it doesn't even have to be new. A restaurant that you really have been enjoying, whether that's for the last 40 years or for the last 20 minutes. So call us up. Would you? Please. We're in the experimental stage of this, but I think you will enjoy it. 260-1870. 260-1870. We're just sitting here waiting. It's going to work. It's going to work. I'm telling you. Here's why. Because what we were encountering on the weekday show is that nobody would call if nobody else was calling. So what we had to do was get that first one there, and then we would get two, and then we'd have four, and then everything would be great. And here is Nick. Nick, welcome to the food show. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You want the salad or the soup?
Oh, I'm on a diet, so I'm going salad now.
Do you like kale, really? I mean, everybody keeps talking about it and talking about it, and I swear to you, I can't make heads or tails of why anybody really likes it that much.
We had a kale salad last night, actually.
And how was it?
It was delicious. Did a little raspberry vinaigrette with some chicken, and it was great. But I got a question for you.
All right.
I've been into the smoking on the grill lately, and I'm thinking about doing a smoked salmon for the first time. And had a question about potential pre-rubs to do. And my second question, I guess, would be what kind of glaze to do after?
Oh, gosh, you could let's get to the glaze first. I'm thinking honey. I mean, really, by the way, I'm not calling you honey. That's just it came out that way.
It's all right.
Honey or you. There are all sorts of other things you could put that it would be in that category. One that comes to my mind all of a sudden is real maple syrup as opposed to the fake maple syrup you get in most places. And that's a wonderful underrated taste, I think. I wind up using it on a lot of things. The trick with the smoking the fish, which you sound like you know what you're doing, is that you have to do this at a fairly low temperature. You can't do this with a high, like 350 degrees or something. You're more like around 100 or maybe even less than that, to give you that really, very delicate kind of smoking. And as for the marinade, I would say a little white wine, a little bit of orange juice. I have done that and found that it comes out pretty good, but not for a long, long time, like maybe 2 hours, 3 hours at the most.
Yep, that's what I was planning on doing. So,
sounds like you got it figured. What's
that? Yeah, I said temperature at 100. Some of the stuff I read was about 175. Do you think that'd be too high?
That would strike me as being a little too high, but I don't think it'll ruin the dish. But I this is something that you really do low and slow. The restaurant that did something much like it, although you're not going to think so at first, is the old Christians. Remember Christians? It was in that church on just off Canal Street.
Okay, yeah, I haven't been, but
they're gone. They're long gone since the hurricane.
Can't go.
Yeah, that's life. But one of the things on their menu that they were famous for was a smoked soft-shell crab. And they would take, still alive, soft-shell crabs. They'd put them on the grill, and that's what they ran it at, about 100 to 100 and a quarter. And then they would fry it after that. But what a dish that was. They still do it that way over at Clancy's now and then. So, I'm sticking with my guns at 100 to 100 and a quarter. All right. Where'd he go? Oh, well, he went away. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you talking about eating and drinking. And Chef Alex is here? Chef Alex.
Hey, Boo.
Which one? I know several Chef Alexes.
Hi, Boo.
Oh, and now I know exactly who it is. Somebody asked me about you last night.
Really? They have nothing else to talk about?
I don't really. Do you have a passion for kale at all that moves you?
No.
No, me neither. I don't get it.
Not at all.
What have you been doing? I've lost. This is Patu, Alex Patu, right?
Basically, I'm retired, and what I'm doing is one domino leads to another domino, and I do private parties throughout the country.
Oh, no kidding. You know, I vaguely remember you telling me that once before.
Yeah, in fact, I just got off the cruise ship Crystal Cruise Line, and we went from Los Angeles all the way to New Zealand.
That's not bad. That's a hell of a long trip there.
It was a long trip, and all I had to do was two demos and one dinner in conjunction with their regular menu offering in the dining room, and that was for 21 days all paid for.
That's very nice. You know, this is something you and I have in common. I have done some cooking demos on cruise ships, too.
It's interesting. Wonderful.
People really get off on that even more than they would in any other situation.
Well, the good part about it is they're not pressed for time. They're not going anywhere.
Well,
so they tend to focus more about what's going on versus where they need to be.
Yeah, I always tell them, you know, my favorite place, way you enjoy cruises is, have you ever done skiing off the back of the ship? That's, wow, that's really happening.
Oh, Lord, no, I haven't done that. A quick update, just wanted to pass on to everybody in New Orleans. It looks like we're really going to have a fabulous crawfish season this year.
I've been waiting for somebody to tell me that because I've been hearing whispered thoughts about that, maybe that being possible. But that's good.
The Chaffalaya River in Morgan City is at 6 feet, and flood stage is basically around 4. So there's going to be plenty of water in the basin.
Alex, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. I have to take a news break here, but we'll be right
back. I understand.
It's more of the Food Show coming up with Alex Patu. This is the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Ed, hang on, will you, buddy? We'll get to you just in a second here. But Alex Patu had taken a couple of minutes out of his busy schedule. You used to be on this station a while ago, I remember. You and
absolutely.
And Dave. Was it Dave? Well, anyway, I remember you were here, and I think maybe even with Chef Paul coming up here every now and then.
And Duke and I used to do a show together every now and then as well.
Oh,
and
really?
Then I used to also take your place when you went on vacation.
Oh, that's right. You know, I forget all these things after all these years.
It's been a long time. Let's face it.
I know. Oh, that's for sure. Oh, well, okay. Now I know what to tell people who ask me where you are because I do get that question every now and then.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And really, no kidding. Just last night, somebody asked me where you were, and I had to say I don't know. Last time I saw him, he was making snowballs. No, I just made that up. You know,
But you know what I do for fun when I'm in New Iberia and I really don't have anything on my schedule? I started doing this about a year ago, and I sell out every time I make homemade hot tamales.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, I mean the old-fashioned the way we like a very very little cornmeal and a true pork and beef tamale and I season them up. I mean it's just fun. It's fun to make.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you should bring that up because my wife made a trip to Houston for a food writers convention over there about a week ago, and while she was there, she ran into this place that was somehow hooked into a new concept called the Delta Trail of Hot Tamales. And this sounds
really?
Like I'm making it up, but I'm not making it up at all. if you ever went to the Delta region of Mississippi, this is up in the northeast west corner of the Mississippi and Greenville, Mississippi.
Yazoo River.
Right, exactly right. And we're coming down there and sort of following the river all the way into New Orleans. You have these tamales that are really not a lot like the ones you would find in Mexico. They're more
not
like,
at all.
I think people can relate to this, is that it will remind you of Manuel's hot tamales.
I totally agree. That's why I didn't want to confuse people with Mexicans. It's not Mexican at all.
No. But apparently it's making a big resurgence, and here you are doing that, too.
It is fun. I mean, it really is.
Why not?
When I start I get my meat organized, when I'm organized and I'm ready to roll, I'll roll 30 dozen at a time by myself.
That's pretty good. Some years ago, there was a local outfit that put together a kit, so you could just buy that and then go buy some ground beef or grind it yourself, I guess. And it had a recipe that came with it, and I wound up making 144 of them, so that's 12 dozen.
That's 12 dozen. You know what it takes.
Well, you know what I remember from this is that the process of putting these things together is such that your blood pressure goes down and the calm moves over to your whole life. Because there's something you just do one after another after another after, and you wrap them up and you put them in the pot, and then you get the grease going. You know, you can't have good hot tamales without a good bit of grease. Would you agree?
Well, the point is that I ball my beef and pork off, and I save all the stock from that, and that has the fat in the stock. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't use ground meat because I find the texture's not right. So we take the meat, and we do the food process of pulsing, just boom, 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 and it really gives a lot of texture to it. At the same time, be very tender on the tamale itself.
Yeah. Well,
have a great afternoon.
You too, and thank you for calling, and you're always welcome on our show, as I hope you know after all these years that we have known one another.
Absolutely. Right. And tell everybody in New Orleans, Alex says hello, and laissez le bon temps rouler, chef.
There he goes. He's a textbook Cajun. No, he's for real. He had Alex Patu. And he used to be all over radio and television and everything. And then he opened up a series of restaurants, mostly up and down on Royal Street, but haven't seen him lately or heard from him. But in the meantime, I have to salute Ed over here for hanging on so long. Thank you very much, Ed. Are you still there?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Come on in.
All right. I'm going to bring up a topic that has no relation to Mardi Gras or Valentine's or anything else. I'm going to bring
perfectly
up...
perfectly fine.
Cranberries. You know,
cranberries.
Like we eat at Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I'm fascinated by the damn things. My favorite non-alcoholic beverage is Ocean Spray cranberry juice cocktail. Even better if you add vodka to it. And I have to drink cranberry juice due to certain medical conditions that I have. I don't want to get into that. Tell me the history of the cranberry and why is it so sour. And they always have to sugar the damn things down.
Mm-hmm.
And how come there's no cranberry pie or cranberry Hubig pies or... it's because we don't live in New England. I just want to, as much as you can tell me about cranberries, how they're harvested and everything, I'm just fascinated by it.
Oh, well, that's a good thing because for once I actually have some experience in this. Years ago, I was on Cape Cod for about 2 weeks. It's a long story, and it's not worth telling here, but I was there. And one of the things that is done in that part of the world is that they raise cranberries. And the way they raise them are they have these vines. I don't know if I'd even call them vines. They're miniature trees, really. And they live in these inundated areas. It's all pretty much like a flood zone, pretty much continuously, especially when they start harvesting them. They are so light compared with the weight of an equivalent amount of water, that they basically just shake the trees and all of the berries hit the ground, but they float up to the top. So getting them into a place where you can sell them it involves like building a rodeo or a roundhouse or something, and you kind of go in and you sort of suck them off the top. There's a million of them there at one time. And they just don't have very much sweetness in them because they don't need the sweetness to attract anything. They apparently are fertilized by this whole action of that goes into the picking. That's what I gather anyway. I'm sure there are people out there who know more about it than I do. But that's why. And also the fact, and this is true of almost every fruit, the farther north you go, the less sweet it is.
Okay. And, I like blackberries or blueberries down here. Okay.
Well, you know, they're pretty good. I know over at my house, over at the Coolwater Ranch, we get good huckleberries there, and blueberries are very nice.
Well, let me ask you this. Historically, sugar was extremely expensive in the time of the Pilgrims and the Puritans until sugar was imported or molasses was imported into New England as part of the slave trade. Did they start cooking down the cranberries with the sugar?
Triangular traving. No, I don't think that the two things were related with one another, because you had three things going on there. You had the sugar, you had the rum, which was, you know, keeping this all fired up. That's the final product that was being made.
Right.
And let's see, what it's triangular triangular
trade, the triangular slave trade.
That's it. I'm trying to remember the exact phrase. And what was the other half of it? What was the only other third of it, rather?
The New England
money. I think money was the third.
Money. Well, the slaves were sold in West Africa to bring to the plantations of the West Indies, and they were traded for sugar. And sugar was brought to England, be made into rum, the rum to go to Africa, and then
you've got
the whole thing.
That's exactly right. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. And boy, you can really learn some stuff doing this radio gig. We will. What did you say? Break. All right. We'll be back in just a moment after first, if you will. Hello. Welcome back. This is The Food Show. Our telephone number is 260-1870. And we are talking about food, and we're talking about restaurants and cooking and wine and Valentine's Day, what you did, how it went. And in fact, anything that you want to bring up, all you have to do, you don't even have to ask me first, call 260-1870. And we'll dive right into it, no matter what it is. I'll stop talking about what we're talking about and get over to you. In the meantime, Jose has managed to get on hold, and I'm glad he has. It's on the green phone. Hi, Jose. Welcome.
Hey, Tom. Just give me a second. I'm driving in from Thibodaux, so let me pull over real quick. I was calling because I understand you have family in Southern California, don't you?
I do.
Well, we're going to be taking a trip with the kids to Los Angeles in May, and just wanted to see if you had any restaurant recommendations, casual, not necessarily fine dining, but something casual we could take the kids to.
That's pretty much the entire restaurant scene in Los Angeles. Everywhere you go, that's the kind of restaurant you wind up in. And about the only exception I would make to that, because we don't go over there all that much, not nearly enough for my wife's liking anyway, and there's an Italian restaurant we go to a lot, but boy, if I could remember what the name of it, I would tell you. But it was, I don't have Los Angeles in my database. It's what?
It's too far away, huh?
No. That's a good restaurant, but it's kind of expensive, and I wouldn't call it a family kind of place exactly.
Got it. Speaking of Italian, Tom, what is the difference between Northern Italian cuisine and Southern Italian cuisine? And what restaurants in New Orleans reflect both of those really well?
I wouldn't say that anybody does both sides well. Most of our Italian food here, in restaurants anyway, is Sicilian. This is just the way that our area was settled when Italians first started coming in the late 1800s. And as a result of that, we get Sicilian cooking, which is where you have the red sauces, a lot of garlic, a lot of olive oil, and a lot of cheese. They love that. Whereas Northern Italy tends more towards, it's much more elegant, I'll tell you that right off the bat, because the people in the northern part of the country are much wealthier than the people in the lower half. But they like to do roasted meats, and this is particularly true of Tuscany. Tuscany is right in the middle of Italy, and Florence is the capital of it. And the kind of cooking they do, that lots of steaks, I mean, like big-time steak place. They grow their own kinds of steak there that are very unusual. They're extremely large cows. And the steaks you get out of them are, you know, like one of them will feed four people. I mean, they are really good. And all the other meats that turn up there. And also along the two coastlines, the west one and the Aegean, and the way that those restaurants go and those people at home too, lots and lots of seafood. You know, if you look at a map of Italy, you'll see why they sell a lot of seafood, because they're surrounded by it. So there's plenty of good eating to be had all over Italy. We're about to go there. My wife and I are giving ourselves that for an anniversary. We have a big anniversary we just had. So we're going to We're going to Venice, which is a beautiful, beautiful, romantic, wonderful place with really good food, too.
So your recommendation for authentic Italian food in New Orleans would be what restaurant?
Well, authentic. What does that mean? I don't know. I would say the best that does kind of Tuscan food is Del Porto. It's in Covington. And I think that, in fact, that's the best Italian restaurant in the whole city. I like Fausto's a lot. That's very Sicilian. I like Rizzuto's. This is where Tony Angelo's used to be. That's kind of half a steakhouse and half of other kinds of things, I would say, tending towards the Sicilian style as well. Who? What?
That's Vincent's, right by where I grew up. So,
Vincent's? You mean, or which? Vincent's, yeah. Vincent's is a real New Orleans kind of a place, not just because of the Sicilian influence, but also because a whole lot of the food that he does is very, very New Orleans kind of cooking. He's, you know, gumbo, turtle soup, you know, lots of seafood with, you know, fairly high spice levels. We have a lot of Italian restaurants here, and most of them are pretty good. But once you start pushing that button that says, is it authentic or not? Nobody can really answer that in most cases.
All right, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the question, and it's a good one. And we'll be back with more of the Food Show after first, if you will. Hello, welcome back. This is the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. And let's see. Lynn is over here on our orange phone. Lynn, welcome. You're not my sister, are you?
No, Tom, I'm not your sister.
Oh, well, that's her name, too, but I just thought I'd ask, just in case.
Okay. Quick question. Joey K's, I went the other day to Joey K's, which was very good, on Magazine. But weren't they in Metairie at one time?
No, I don't think so. They've been there. That place opened up around 1982, if I remember correctly. It was around then, anyway. And I remember it very, very fondly because when they opened up that kind of restaurant, the neighborhood joint kind of a place that had poor boys and roast beef poor boys and a bowl of gumbo and all of the family style kind of cuisine that we have around most of the city. And all of that had been disappearing. And they came on and they started doing all those daily specials, the chicken every Tuesday and the lasagna every Friday. And that's still what they do. And they really stood out for that. But I don't remember that they were somewhere else before then.
Okay. Well, they were always in the same location or Magazine? Because they said the original Joey K passed away a while ago.
I don't know, but that doesn't sound right with what I see. It's the same location. They did do a major renovation that made the place look totally different once they were.
Oh, okay.
But they've been in that spot as long as I can remember.
Okay. Well, it was very good, and I loved, they have liver and onions. It's great.
Yeah, you see, that kind of food, you don't see that very many places.
You don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
Well, it's good to have them doing it. Yeah.
Definitely. Thank you, Tom. Have a safe trip on your trip.
Thank you very much, and I sure will. Yep. On FM, on HD, on Skywave, and online. We'll be back. More of the Food Show. Stay tuned. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.